At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the very last thing Jesus says to the disciples is, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And we might imagine the disciples hearing that and saying, Jesus, this is the first we've heard of that. We heard all these commands about loving our neighbors, ourself, and all that stuff about being nice people. But Jesus, how come only now you're telling us to go and make disciples? How are we supposed to know how to do that, Jesus? Well, one of the interesting things we see, especially in the way the Gospel of Matthew puts it all together, is that's what Jesus is doing from the very beginning. When he first goes up to Simon, who we know as Peter, and his brother Andrew and James and John, and says, "Come, follow me," he's inviting them to be disciples. He's inviting them to come along with him so they can know how to be a disciple and know how to make disciples. So let's go back to the beginning, this story that Catherine read just a moment ago. Here in Matthew, we don't see a lot of the details. All we see is it looks like Jesus is walking along the lake one day. Y'all ever walk along the lake? Isn't it calm and peaceful? And he comes along some fishermen. And he sees these guys fishing. And it sounds, if all you read is Matthew, like there's just these random guys there. And Jesus says, "Oh, I've never seen you before in my life, but won't you come follow me?" That's the idea we get from Matthew. But if we look at Luke, we see a slightly different context. If you want to look in your Bibles, this is Luke chapter 5. Never hurts to have your Bible out on Sunday morning. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. That throws a little more light in the story, doesn't it? We see from Luke that Simon and Andrew weren't just strangers, just happened to be there when Jesus walked by. There were strangers that happened to have boats when Jesus needed a podium on the sea. Jesus says, "Come follow me." Have any of you ever heard Jesus say, "Come follow me"? Were you in a boat? Did you receive your call to be a follower of Jesus when you were in a boat? When you were out fishing? Maybe some people still do. Most of us don't seem to get that call that way. In fact, I think most of the followers of Jesus we see in the New Testament didn't receive the call that way. There seems to be an almost infinite number of contexts in which Jesus can call us to be his disciples. Now, if we combine all this with what I quoted at the beginning from Matthew 28, this go therefore and make disciples of all nations, the call that we will hear today to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, will tend to come through another ordinary human being. Are there any ordinary human beings here today? Chances are that when somebody called you, when Jesus called you to follow him, it wasn't Jesus himself standing in front of you saying, come follow me. But it was Jesus speaking through someone else. Maybe one of you was called to be a disciple this morning by somebody else that's here this morning. Might have been your parents, husband, wife, friends. We don't know. There's lots of different paths to becoming a disciple. It's sort of like, let's try an experiment here. Can anybody tell me a name of a big city in Texas? Johan? Austin. Any of y'all know where Austin is? Have any of y'all been to Austin? Okay. If you've been to Austin, how many roads lead to Austin? How many, Johan? More than 100. Can't we just say bunches? Bunches and bunches of roads go to Austin. There's not just one way to get to Austin. So, since we know that bunches and bunches of roads go to Austin, can we say that every road goes to Austin? No. If I got on I-30 at Mount Pleasant, how far would I have to drive on I-30 to get to Austin? I wouldn't get there. I could drive back and forth on the entire length of it all my life, and I'd never get to Austin. Why? Doesn't go to Austin. Pretty simple, isn't it? The same way, there's lots of roads to Jesus. There are some roads that don't go to Jesus. Jesus wants us to be on one of those many roads that comes to him. Because if we're going to be one of those people, if we're going to be like those disciples at Matthew 28, those people that hear Jesus' great commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. If we're going to be disciple makers, we need to be disciples first. Now, like there's lots of roads to Jesus, there seems to be lots of ways to hear the invitation. Jesus' words here were, come follow me. That doesn't sound very religious, does it? Y'all ever follow anybody? Maybe you're driving down the road and there's a car in front of you, you follow them. Do you have deep religious thoughts when you follow somebody down the road? Or when you're at Brookshire's and you're going down the aisle and somebody's pushing their cart in front of you and you follow them, you think, oh, I have deep religious thoughts here. I am following this person. No, you're just going the same direction at the same time. And if you're looking for something that you can't find and somebody's leading you and you're actually following them for a purpose, my guess is you still don't have deep religious thoughts of, oh, I finally found the olives. Jesus took this ordinary life concept of following me and applied it to this life of discipleship. Follow me. Now, did y'all see Johan come up and light the candles this morning? What do we call that job that he did? An acolyte. Anybody know the meaning of the word acolyte? I'll tell you, the Greek original is here in our text that Catherine read. Well, at least the verb form. It means a follower. An acolyte is one who follows. Now we think acolyte, oh, he's the guy that lights the candles. Puts them out. Bible terms, an acolyte is a follower. So if we're going to be a disciple, one of the things we're going to do is follow. We're going to follow Jesus. Have y'all ever followed anybody before? Yeah. What do you have to do to follow somebody? You have to what? Watch them. Keep your eyes on them. Maybe not quite that close, Johann. You have to be able to see them. That's why in Mark, when Mark tells the story of the calling of the disciples, he says Jesus called the 12 to be with him, to spend time with him. And that's what we see here in Matthew. Jesus calls these guys, four guys here in Matthew 4 and some other guys later on, and they're with him. They see what it is to be a follower of Jesus, what it is to be a disciple. So one of the things Jesus calls people to do is follow him. How about that other thing that we say sometimes? How about calling to believe him? Have you ever heard anybody call you to believe in Jesus? Why would somebody believe in Jesus? Well, looking at this story of Simon and Andrew and James and John and their boat, something sort of unusual happened with them, didn't it? They've been out fishing all night and caught nothing. And they come back and they're tired and they're cleaning their nets so they can go to bed, sleep all day, and go out all night and fish again and maybe find enough to eat and make a living. And here comes this Jesus fellow and he says, "Hey, let me use your boat a little bit." They're being nice guys. They row out a little bit and let him talk. And then he says, "Okay, guys, I'm finished talking. Let's go out and catch some fish." Now, let me put a little caveat right here. I'm not much of a fisherman. I usually know a fish when I see one, and I like to eat them. But if you want to know more about fishing, ask somebody other than me, okay? But my guess is these guys, these professional fishermen, didn't have a lot of confidence in Jesus at this place. They're the experts. If you're the expert, why trust a non-expert? But just to show him up, they say, "Okay, Jesus, we'll go out even though we know it's not going to work." And they go out, and of course, Jesus is proved wrong, right? They don't catch anything. Is that how it goes? How's it go, Bjorn? They catch anything? Yeah, just one fish, right? No? How many fish they catch? That's a bunch of fish. Isn't it? Any of y'all ever catch that many fish? That's a bunch of fish. So they do something interesting was going on here. Maybe they started getting the idea, maybe we can trust Jesus here. Maybe even though we were thought we were the experts, maybe he has something to teach us. Have you ever gotten to that point in your life? I mean, we're the experts at our own lives, aren't we? We know ourselves better than anybody else around us, and we know what's worked and what hasn't worked. We know what we want out of life. We know what's truly good for us. So why should we listen to Jesus when he comes along and barges into our life and tells us something that we're not really wanting to hear? That's part of the life of the disciple. The life of the disciple is like Simon, like Andrew, like James and John, is listening to Jesus. Saying, "Jesus, I'm going to try doing it your way. Jesus, I'm going to let you have the say of what happens in my life. I'm going to try trusting you." Now, you notice what we haven't said anything about yet. Haven't said anything about going to heaven when you die. Now, in my experience, it's real common for preachers to get up and say, "If you died tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" It's not a really bad question. But it's not what Jesus is getting at here. Jesus isn't only concerned about will we trust him for eternity. Jesus is concerned Will we trust Him for now? Will we entrust our lives, not just our eternal lives, but our life here and now, to Him? Another thing, strangely enough, that Jesus doesn't say here is, hey guys, will you come join my church? Now, we might say, well, we've read the rest of the Bible and we know the church is sort of in the background here, but part of our problem is our picture of church has gotten so institutional. Church is about buildings. Church is about a schedule. Church is about going certain places, doing certain things at certain times. But what Jesus is doing here is He's inviting people. James, John, Simon, and Andrew, to come follow Him and to follow Him together. It's not that Simon follows Him and then after his six-hour shift, Andrew comes on, and after Andrew's six-hour shift, John comes on, and then after his six-hour shift, James comes on, and then it goes on like that forever. Everybody just has their little shift. Okay, Jesus, I'll follow you this time. These guys from diverse backgrounds, diverse personalities, they're called to follow Jesus together. Now, what happens when you're one of several people that are following the same person? Do you ever bump into each other? Do your lives ever intersect? It sort of seems that way. That's where the New Testament idea of church starts. It's the group of people who together, as they follow Jesus, are transformed together into the image of Jesus. So we have this command of Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Well, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is asking the disciples to do exactly what He has done. Today, Jesus is calling us. First thing He's calling us to is just simply to be disciples. To be people who learn from Him. To be His students. That's the root meaning of the word disciple. Is a student, a learner. Now, those of you who are still in school, you know firsthand right now what a student is, right? Yeah. Some of us just have to look backwards and say, yeah, I remember the days. Jesus calls us to follow Him, to be His students, to learn from Him, to trust Him, to entrust our lives to Him, to walk together with those others who are trusting Him, who are following Him. How's your life as a disciple today? I'm not saying, where are you going to spend eternity? I'm not saying, are you a member of this church or any other church? I'm not saying, do you serve on committees? I'm asking you, how's your life as a disciple? Are you following Jesus? If you are following Jesus, is it just sort of an accident? Like, yeah, He's going that way in the highway, and I'm going that way too for this short span of time. Or are your eyes fixed on Jesus? And if you're following Him, are you trusting Him? Again, not just for eternity. Trusting Him for eternity is awesome. That's a great thing to do. But are you trusting Him for your life right now? Are you trusting His wisdom, His insight, His teaching as the way to live a good life for you? Of course, some of you at this stage might be thinking, I look at His life and I see where it got Him. Nailed to a cross. I'm not sure I want to do that. Is there another way, Jesus? But that same Jesus who was crucified, the same Jesus who ended up on a Roman cross, is the same one who said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." So wherever Jesus takes us, wherever our trusting Him and following Him gets us, the end result's going to be good for us. Might not be easy. Probably won't be. But it's going to be good for us. He's going to take us in the direction of that for which we were made. How's your life as a disciple today? Are you following Him? Or are you settling for just coming to church? Let's pray.